You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
When people see life, I mean really see life, it's a lot more difficult to choose death. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. At our Preparing for a Post-Roe World event at the Wilberforce Weekend this past year, Dr. Jim Daly described how his team at Focus on the Family courageously drew attention to the life that is in the womb through an event in Times Square back before the pandemic. The event was an example of how courage is contagious, how Christians can be emboldened to speak truth in love, even in the middle of difficult situations. Here's Jim Daly explaining what happened at Times Square before the pandemic.
What the Lord put on my heart was show them the baby. Isn't it just like the Lord to make it real simple? So we apply for the, you know, the permits and everything. 6 months, 8 months out, they're not showing up. We got the permits at 7:30 the morning of our event. But anyway, we get there and there was a stage. We had 20,000 supporters that came in. 20,000. We were only permitted for 10,000. But they came in, and then we had all the bystanders. And it was real simple. We had a couple of speakers. And then we showed them the ultrasound right in Times Square. Now, the big ABC and all the big jumbotrons, we were 8 months out. We want to buy inventory for those jumbotrons. Sure, there's plenty of inventory. What do you want to show? A preborn baby. You know what? We're all out of time. That's exactly what they said. And the team came to me and I said, okay, let's just bring in our own jumbotrons. So we did. And we showed that baby. And Abby's in there and her baby goes across Times Square. And that baby's heartbeat. And everybody stopped. And it was like this amazing spiritual silence. Everybody was looking. People were crying. And I think one of the things that we need to do is show that emotional connection. These people know what they're doing. They absolutely know what they're doing. Planned Parenthood just doesn't admit it. I had a Planned Parenthood executive tell me that. I said, I'm a business person. I came from international paper. I didn't go to seminary. And I just said, what is it that drives you? She said, cash flow. Cash flow. And I said, that's a very honest answer. And one of the things we're looking at, pray for us, because I said to her, if it's cash flow, what if I gave you, what's an average abortion? She said, $600. I said, what if I could pay you $1,200 for an adoption placement? She said, some clinics might do that. So I'm working behind the scenes right now to find some clinics that might be willing. Let's turn them into adoption clinics. Wouldn't that be amazing? I think for us in this century to look back to the first, second, third century, what did the church do? That's the blueprint. And what it is action. Telemachus going to the gladiator events on January 1st, 404 AD. He went down to see what this thing was all about. He saw men killing each other in the Colosseum. He jumps onto the floor of the Colosseum in his robe and says, you shouldn't be doing this. You're destroying people made in God's image, each one of you. And they killed him. But that was the last day they had gladiator events because it made an impression on the empire. So how do we make those impressions on the empire that even hard hearts might crack open and they might say, maybe it is life. Amen? Amen.
That was my friend Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, at our Preparing for a Post-Roe World event at the Wilberforce Weekend. Focus will be hosting its next Sea Life Conference June the 14th at 7 p.m. This year's event won't be hosted at Times Square, but it will be live streamed everywhere in America. It's something you won't want to miss. For more information on the Sea Life Conference, that's S-E-E Life, visit focusonthefamily.com/SeaLife22. That's focusonthefamily.com/SeaLife22. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Spirituality is not the opposite of education. Education has a part, but education and development and determination and understanding who we are has a role, but education and the world's wisdom will never find happiness or fulfillment in any single person. There's always a little more beyond. It's God's wisdom.
The truth is, Jesus gives you all you need to live powerfully and abundantly. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young launches into his message, The Mind of Christ, pulling back the curtain of the world's wisdom and showing you how to be fully equipped to live in these uncertain days. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young is about to begin. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we get to the message, we want to help you make the very most of your time here on Earth by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series, Discovering What Really Matters. This powerful series explores the book of Ecclesiastes to show you there is purpose and reasoning in everything, especially in how you use your words and your time. We'll send you a copy of Discovering What Really Matters as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Mind of Christ.
I think all of us are at least vaguely familiar with The Wizard of Oz. It was written in 1900 by Frank Baum, and it's become a classic. It's been made, it's a thick book, by the way, Broadway play. The music that was in the musical that was put on Hollywood was Somewhere Over the Rainbow, made Judy Garland famous. It's a powerful story. It's the first fairy tale written by an American. First one, 1900. And it has some great fundamental truths. If you remember the story, a cyclone, that's an antique word now, we use tornado. A cyclone struck Kansas, and there's a little girl, Dorothy, and the little dog Toto, she had a head injury and she was whoosh, out to another place, not knowing where she was, trying to find her way back home. Someone says you had to go and find the great Wizard of Oz in the land of Oz, and he would be able to give you direction that you will get back home. So she said, "Where do I begin?" And the instructor said, "You just go down that yellow brick road. Just walk down that yellow brick road." So Dorothy and Toto begin to walk down the yellow brick road, and the story tells of all the situation in which they found themselves. First, there was a scarecrow, remember? And the scarecrow, Dorothy engaged with the scarecrow, and the scarecrow said, "I've got a problem, I don't have a brain. Oh, I want a brain." And Dorothy said, "Hey, come on with me down the yellow brick road. And I am told that the great Wizard of Oz can do a lot of things. And the wizard is going to tell me to get back home to Kansas. And also the wizard might be able to give you a brain." The scarecrow said, "I'm ready to go." Then they go a little farther down the road and they run into a tin man. And the tin man tells Dorothy, "I've got a problem. I don't have a heart. No feeling, no compassion. I want to have a heart like everybody else." And Dorothy says, "Well, come on, we're going to see the wizard. And maybe he can give you a heart." And so he gets in the parade. They go down that yellow brick road, and they run into a lion, king of the beast. The lion said, I've got a problem. I've got a big problem. I'm supposed to be so strong, but I don't have any courage. I want courage. And Dorothy said, we're going to see the wizard there in the land of Oz, and maybe he can give you courage. And so here's that little parade, Toto and Dorothy, a little blonde-headed girl. And here is the scarecrow and the lion and the tin man. And they go through all kind of obstacles, if you remember the story. They come to a ditch. They have to build a bridge across a ditch. They go to a high hill, and they don't think they can make it. And they meet all kinds of people, from flying monkeys to mushkins. And then finally they even go and find a chariot pulled by little mice, and all this involved into a thrilling fairy tale, until finally they get to see the Wizard of Oz, the mighty Wizard of Oz in the lands of Oz, in the Emerald City. Everything was green, everything was emerald in color. And they go before the wizard, and Dorothy makes a request, and a long story short, the wizard said, well, I can't give the scarecrow brains, and I certainly can't give the lion courage, and I can't give the tin man a heart. And so he goes through all of this fancy excuse making. And they knew, oh, the great wizard had the power to do it. And then remember little Toto, the dog in the movie? He goes up, and there's a wizard behind this curtain, and a little dog comes and begins to pull the curtain, and the curtain falls down. And the wizard is just a little guy there who had been a con artist all of these years. With a loud microphone, he had fooled all the people of Oz. He had them wearing glasses that made everything green. And he had explained to them to build him a palace. And he went through all of these sleight of hands, mystical things. And then Dorothy looks up at him and says, in so many words, you're a phony. You're not real. You are humbug. That was the word in the story. You're humbug. And the wizard just admits all that. And finally they go and he says, I can't help you, but let me tell you what I can do. So he ultimately takes the scarecrow and he takes his head off and stuffs something in his brain, in the head cavity. He said, well, now maybe you can think you've got a brain. Then he goes over and he takes a lion and says, drink all this green stuff, and that green stuff will get inside of you, and that green liquid will give you courage. That's what you want. He took the tin man and cut a hole out of the tin and put in there a little red thing that looked like a heart, and then he soldered it back in place and said, well, now you've got a heart. And he said, Dorothy, I can't help you. I can't get you back to Kansas. I wouldn't know where to begin. But what happened in the story ultimately is that suddenly the moral, the basic truth of the Wizard of Oz comes out. And it's simply this. It's the new age thinking way back in 1900. Try harder. You've got what you need already in your life. Just bring it out. The lion, oh, you've got courage. Just go and act like you've got courage. The scarecrow, oh, you've got a brain. Just give yourself and develop that brain. The tin man, you've got a heart and compassion. And the symbol of all of this, all of a sudden, their whole lives were indeed upgraded. Their whole lives, just by trying harder. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the wisdom of the world, is it not?
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and there's more powerful teaching ahead, so stay with us. Before we get back to Dr. Young, there is purpose and reasoning in everything, especially in how you use your words and your time. And Scripture tells us that what really matters most of all is how we sow the love of Christ through our time and our words. We want to help you use your time and words to reflect Christ to those around you by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series, Discovering What Really Matters. This enlightening series challenges you to consider how to use your time and shows you how to listen, hear, and respond to God's calling for your life. We'll send you Discovering What Really Matters as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word encouraging you and others all over the world through this broadcast. So call now and give and request your copy of the Discovering What Really Matters series. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Now, here's a sneak peek at the teaching coming up after the break.
You've got whatever you need to give you purpose and put your life together. Just try harder, work harder, get up early, get an education. But you know, there's another whole realm of wisdom. It's God's wisdom.
That's next on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with more from his message, The Mind of Christ.
I remember as a little guy, my mother would read to me something about the little engine that could. I forgot the name of it. I remember the words, though. The engine goes up the hill. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Yeah, at the top of the hill going, now, I thought I could, I thought I could. That's it. You've got whatever you need to give you purpose and put your life together. Just try harder, work harder, get up early, get an education. But you know, there's another whole realm of wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And God's wisdom takes man's wisdom. Now, don't misunderstand me. Spirituality is not the opposite of education. Education has a part, but education and development and determination and understanding who we are has a role, but education and the world's wisdom will never find happiness or fulfillment in any single person. There's always a little more beyond. And so we come to the town, the city of Corinth. They specialized in wisdom. Man, the Corinthians were all about wisdom. Man, Athens, man, the citadel of philosophy, the early philosophers, Euripides, Plato, Aristotle, all of their man's wisdom. And wisdom was the currency of the day. Power, also currency of the day. And also hedonism, currency of the day. They're in Corinth. And now Paul goes and says, man, I see you've got all this going for you. But he said, I want to tell you about a different kind of wisdom. And he goes to this pagan, universal, multiracial, multicultural, multilinguistic city of Corinth and said, I want to tell you about God. And of all things, in all places, he started a church. He founded the body of Christ. And it was a booming church, people from all sorts of life. It was a phenomenal thing, a supernatural thing. And Paul goes away, leaves people there to disciple and tell the rest of the story of the gospel. But the church suddenly becomes more like Corinth and their thinking. Then Corinth becomes like the wisdom of God, the thinking of the church. Sound familiar? Are we becoming more like the world, or is the church penetrating the world in which we live? That's a big question. So we come to Corinthians, and we've already been introduced to what I have summarized. We come to the second chapter, and it's very, very interesting how it begins. Now remember what's happening. Paul had found the church. He'd been away. The church had gone backwards in their morals, and he's going to get to all that. He's going to say what's right and wrong, what's true of someone who's a Jesus follower. But he's going to get to that, but he's putting a foundation down. He's answering some questions that he had been asked, and he's writing a letter back to the church. He said, I'm going to come and deal with all of this. Let me give you a preamble of what's going to happen and needs to happen in your life and in the body of Christ there in Corinth. And it is so relevant. It is so over the plate practical for where we are now in our America, in our cities, and in the city in which we live. Look what he says in the second chapter. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or with human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. Paul said, I didn't come overwhelming you with brilliant $50 words. I didn't come try to appeal to you and they'd say, "Ooh, Paul is... oh, he is so erudite." By the way, he could have come like that. Nobody had better credentials than the Apostle Paul in the academic, philosophical area, even in the religious area. Nobody had better credentials than Paul. But he said, I didn't come to you trying to overwhelm you. He said, boy, he is brilliant. Boy, he's giving us so many wonderful things. He said, my approach wasn't like that. He said, I came and I gave you the basic testimony of God. He said, I just told you in the founding of the church how you can get right with God, how I got right with God, and how you can get right with God. And then the next verse, he said, I just came to you saying one thing. I presented to you Jesus Christ crucified. That was it. And he said, therefore, you responded to the meaning of the cross, and your response wasn't because you were convinced, overwhelmed. You responded because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, touched your heart and your life and your mind and changed you, and radically changed you. Why did I ask you the message of crucifixion of Christ, why was it adequate? Why was it the place to begin? We need to remember the cross. The cross gets you and I, as it did those Corinthians, right with God. That's where you start. We can't do business anywhere until I get right, you get right with God. And Jesus Christ on that cross died for you and me, so we have an entree all the way to God. We don't go on our own merits. We go by grace on the gift of God. He died for you and me in your place and in my place. Therefore, that's how we get right with God. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. This is how you get right with God. And then he says, you're right with God, you get right with yourself. A lot of us have to forgive ourselves, get over ourselves. And then he said, and there's that horizontal bar, he said, then you get right with everybody else.
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and there's more powerful teaching ahead, so stay with us. But right now, we want to remind you about a powerful resource that will challenge you about how to spend your time. Dr. Young's Discovering What Really Matters CD series. In this four-message series, you'll find proven answers to life's biggest questions, like, what really matters in my life? Am I living up to my potential? How do I get out when I'm stuck in a rut? We'd love to send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk going strong. Your support helps reach more people around the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call today to give and remember to request your copy of Discovering What Really Matters. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. And stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young returns after this short break.
Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. When we move away from God, we move toward fear. But when we move toward God, we move away from fear. How does this operate? Picture a mother, her little girl on a shopping trip. The mom says, hold my hand or you'll get lost in here. Stay near me. Little girl thinks she can handle things by herself, so she slips away from the mother and begins to wander until she realizes she does not know where she is. That is precisely what we do. We're created by God. We're made to hold His hand. Only when we hold His hand and stay close to Him will we make it through life without getting lost.
And welcome back. You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with more from his message, The Mind of Christ.
Isn't that where we begin our Christian life? Forgiveness and grace. I get right with myself. I can get right with others. And Paul said, that's the message I gave you when I came. Christ crucified. That's where you began. And tragically, we're going to find out a little parenthesis here. They stayed right there. They never did grow up. And therefore, we're going to see in the next chapter another category of people called carnal Christians. A carnal Christian is someone who has gotten right with God, received Christ, gotten right with themselves, and they just stayed right there in kindergarten in the first grade of Christianity. And they've been there for years. They haven't gone anywhere else. And people like that, you know what happens to you? You have Christ, the Holy Spirit is in your life, but you're not utilizing that. You're not growing up. You're not maturing. You're not understanding things. You just have the basic testimony of beginning. I prayed a little prayer and I was baptized and man, I'm okay. But you're living a carnal life, a life not so different from someone who never known God and never received forgiveness and never been to the cross. All of that is there, but you stayed in kindergarten. You stayed in the first grade. You haven't gone on. And Paul goes on and says, I gave you my testimony That was the beginning part. And then he continues in this chapter, and what does he say? Listen carefully. He says, I proclaim to you the testimony of God, for I resolved to know nothing among you while I was with you except Jesus Christ crucified. Verse 3, I came to you in weakness, with fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and we hope today's message has encouraged you. We'd love to strengthen your walk with the proven truth that there is deep purpose and reasoning in everything you do by sending you Dr. Young's CD series, Discovering What Really Matters. Your life matters, and Scripture teaches that what really matters most of all is how we sow the love of Christ through our time and our words. This four-part series will equip you to listen, hear, and respond to God's calling for you to speak and use your time to be a reflection to those around you of who Christ is. So call now to request your copy of Discovering What Really Matters as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk, but come back tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with proven truth to help you truly live in the power of Christ.
You are listening to WWBC, COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, COCO, 99.9 FM.
It may not be clear now because you've been in a bad environment and you've been listening to folk who don't believe God's word.
Dr. Tony Evans says praying with other Christians can help counteract the unbelief of the world.
Don't you give up on God. He still answers prayer. But that means we must be a people who pray.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The only prayers that really go unanswered are the ones we never actually prayed. Today, Dr. Evans talks about praying with confident boldness as he explores the importance of asking, seeking, and knocking. Let's join him in God's Word.
In Luke chapter 11, that's the passage beginning with the first verse where Jesus is asked, teach us to pray. So you have another rendition of the Lord's Prayer through verse 4. But then after he concludes a summary of the Lord's Prayer of why we need to talk to heaven as a lifestyle, not as only an emergency, he tells a story. There are three personalities in this story. There is a man who has some guests coming to his home, but he doesn't have food to feed the guests. And in Mideastern hospitality, you always offer your guests something to eat, but he didn't have any food. So this friend has friends coming to visit him. Because he doesn't have food, he goes to his friend. So you've got this friend having some friends who needs help from another friend. So you got three groups of friends here. The gentleman who is lacking food for his friends goes to his friend and says, can you help me with three loaves of bread so that I can help my friend? Would you bless me so I can bless somebody else? His friend has already gone to bed. The door has been shut and locked. His children are already asleep. So his friend doesn't want to be disturbed by his friend, which means his friend here won't help his friend so that he can't help his friend. Because it's an inopportune, it's inconvenient. It's late at night. But this friend insists to his friend, I am going to keep disturbing you, even though you're supposed to be my friend, until you help me to help them. We are told that even though it's inconvenient, because this friend keeps insisting that his friend help him so he can help his friend, that he gets up and gives him whatever he needs. That is the summary of the story that Jesus tells coming off of the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is given, then a story is told, a parable. Having told the story, Jesus now makes the point of the story, which makes the point of the Lord's Prayer. So I say, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. That's the point. Now, some don't understand this passage. Some would think that you've got to disturb God in order to get God to answer your prayer. In other words, if you keep banging on heaven long enough, then heaven will respond because you've nagged it to death. Because that's kind of what happened. So if you interpret the story that way, then even though God doesn't want to do it because he's tied up, he will do it if you worry him to death. But something doesn't sound right about that, does it? That God is sleeping, doesn't want to help you, but he will help you if you keep banging on heaven long enough. Something just doesn't seem right about that application. It's because it's not. You see, the contrast, not the comparison, is being what is made. What's the contrast? Remember, the story is tied to the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is about a father, not a friend. Our Father who art in heaven, not my friend who is on earth. So you must see this as a contrast, not a comparison. God is not like the friend, God is like the Father. So he tells the Lord's Prayer, our Father, he illustrates it with how a friend would act. But when you're in a crisis, you need more than a friend that you have to cajole. You need a father who already cares. So the comparison is between a father and a friend, not the friend and God. The point is to tell the disciples who asked, teach us to pray, how to contact the Father. You don't do it like you're talking to a friend. You do it like you're talking to a dad. So let's get the contrast clear. He says three verbs: ask, seek, and knock. In the Greek text, the three verbs are imperatives. An imperative is a command, not a request. So he is telling you to ask, commanding you to ask, telling you to seek, commanding you to seek. Telling you to knock, but he's commanding you to knock. So this is not a nice request. It is a divine command because Jesus is telling his disciples, you better do this. So this is a big deal. Verse 10 says, for everyone who asks, please don't miss that. For everyone who asks, see, somebody didn't hear me. For everyone who asks, which means you are not an exception. You have equal access to answered prayer. I have no more access to answered prayer and the supernatural than you do for everybody who asks. It will be open, the end of verse 10 says. So how does this work? When God answers prayer, he answers it in the spiritual realm first. Now, we are calling on God, who exists in the spiritual realm, to manifest answered prayer in the physical realm, although we're talking to him in the spiritual realm. When we talk to God up there, it's answered up there. As you've heard me illustrate many times, if you have DirecTV, the satellite has the programming, and it's up there. It has to be manifested on your TV screen down here. If you do not have a receiver, it will not be manifested. Or if you have a receiver, but the receiver is off, it won't be manifested. Not because it doesn't exist, but you don't have the capacity to pick up on it. There are many prayers in this house that have already been answered up there, but the receiver is not on down here. And therefore, it is floating up in the spiritual realm, waiting to be received so you can get a picture down here. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have a receiver. And if you are a Christian, but you are not in sync with the spirit realm, it won't show up on the screen of your life. Many of us will go to heaven and see a storage of unanswered prayer, yes, that the answer was already given, yes, up there, but not manifested down here. So that raises a question. What would keep it not coming from the spirit realm down to the physical realm?
Dr. Evans will have the answer for us when he returns with the second part of today's message in just a moment. But first, if the answers to your prayers seem nowhere to be found, there's a book Dr. Evans has written that may be just what you need at this time. It's called God is Up to Something Great, and it reviews the lives of Paul, Peter, and Joseph to show how God can be at work fulfilling your prayers even when it seems that he's very far away. For a limited time, we're making God is Up to Something Great available as our gift when you make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry here on the radio and around the world. Along with it, we'll include all the messages in his current teaching series called Bold Belief. Bold Belief will help you grasp the reality of God's promises and presence with you, and in turn teach you how to live out your life with renewed confidence, conviction, and purpose. Get this special double resource package when you visit us today at tonyevans.org or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you after part two of today's lesson and this.
Tony Evans and the Urban Alternative are bringing you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience the majestic beauty of Alaska while receiving great teaching from Dr. Evans and others. From August 6th to 13th, worship God in an incredible setting and fellowship with others who share your passion for His Word, and experience it all while on a cruise that will pamper you with luxurious accommodations, incredible meals from talented chefs, and a large variety of leisure experiences. Those dates again are August 6th to 13th, and spots are running out. So book your trip today and reserve the room of your choice at tonyevans.org.
1 John chapter 3, verse 22, he says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." If it's a legitimate prayer where you ask with the right motive, where you went and looked for the answer, and where you continued knocking, God has answered that prayer in the spiritual realm. But if you are not seeking to please Him, seeking to obey Him, you have delayed the answer from coming days, months, or years. Or if there's spiritual warfare, because the devil doesn't want the answer to get through, then he will try to block the delivery of the answer from getting to you. So some prayers are delayed because of spiritual activity in the spiritual realm. But you don't give up. That's why you got to keep knocking. You got to keep knocking because the devil is trying to fight to keep the answer that's already been decreed from arriving to your doorstep. So you keep knocking until your delivery system breaks through. In Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26, Bethesda was one of the unbelieving cities of Jesus's day. And Jesus goes to a blind man. He grabs the blind man and he takes him out of the city. Because sometimes you have to be taken away from unbelieving environments. You have to be removed from faithless environments, from folk who don't believe God, trust God, or expect from God. You need to be, if you want to hear from God, you got to get rid of those folk who are not willing to believe with you for the supernatural. So he takes the blind man out of the city. He wipes his eyes and he says, "Do you see anything?" And the man says, "I see men looking like trees." Jesus keeps working with him a little while longer and says, "What do you see now?" He says, "I see men clearly." You see, sometimes God progressively moves you to seeing a picture clearly. It may not be clear now because you've been in a bad environment and you've been listening to folk who don't believe God's word. You've been listening to folk who don't see the supernatural, so you don't see the clear miracle that God wants to do. But if you can get out of that environment, then put on some spiritual glasses, you can begin to see things a lot more clearly. That's why you want to worship in a place that has faith, not a place of unbelief. You want to worship in a place where God can show you clearly what He is up to. Back to chapter 11 of Luke. He says, "Now suppose," verse 11, "one of you fathers," because he's not talking as a friend, he's talking as a dad. "One of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish." Okay, you want something to eat, you're hungry. "He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he?" He says, "No father will trick his child by making a snake look like fish because they want to deceive him." God's not out to trick you. He's not out to mess with you. If a human father, faulty as we are, wouldn't do that to your own kid, what kind of daddy do you think you have in heaven? He's not out to trick you. He's out for your best and most fruitful purpose and interest. So, what's the conclusion? Okay, here it is. I don't want you to miss this. It all comes down to this. The Lord's Prayer, the illustration, ask, seek, knock, all that. If you then being evil, okay, we're sinners, we failed, we're not perfect. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, because we're not talking about friends, we're talking about Father. If you know how to take care of your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, because we're not talking about a friend who you have to cajole and make something happen, we're talking about a Father. Your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. But wait a minute. You don't go to God and ask for the Holy Spirit. You go to God because I got a health need, I got a financial need, I got a cry, I got this, I got that, I got that. You know, I got real life physical needs. And they come in a million different ways. He says, what I'm gonna give is one thing. I'm gonna give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And you didn't ask for the Holy Spirit. Oh, but maybe you did. Okay, let's talk theology. There's one God composed of three co-equal persons. God the Father, that's who you're talking to. Jesus the Son, that's the mediator. But the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. In the Old Testament, God the Father is the superstar. It's all about God the Father. You see very few mentions of Jesus. You see very few mentions of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. They're there, but they're not directly mentioned a lot. In the Gospels, Jesus is the superstar. It's all about Jesus. The miracles of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's all about Jesus. But beginning in the book of Acts, Jesus says, don't go anywhere because the Spirit of God is going to descend upon you. If Jesus walked into the church today and Jesus wanted something to eat, I'm telling y'all now, he going home with me. He ain't going home with you. I'm going to pull out my pastor card and he's going home with me. Because when Jesus was on earth, he limited the locality of his action to the locality of where he was standing. He only traveled 300 miles from home. That's the furthest he ever went. And whatever he did on earth was tied to where he was physically, because he limited his activity to the location of his humanity. But when he arose and went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, who he said will be in you, that means he can go home with everybody. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, then the Holy Spirit can go wherever you and y'all happen to be. So even though we have 1,000 different requests, it won't matter, because whatever the request is, there's still only one post office. And the post office is the Holy Spirit, and he has postal workers. The postal workers are the angels, because the angels do what the Holy Spirit tells them to do, because they deliver the mail to the individual Christians, since every Christian has been assigned the Holy Spirit. So I'm not better than you, you're not better than me, because Jesus is going home with everybody that has the Holy Spirit and has an angel assigned to you. So all I'm trying to tell you is, if you know how to take care of your chillings, then God knows how to take care of his. If you know how to see answered to your family, God knows how to answer every member of his family. So what you should do, you should ask with a humble spirit. Then you should go looking for the answer, even if there's spiritual warfare to delay it. But you're gonna keep knocking until Satan gets off your back and Michael can get through to the answer to your prayer. So don't you quit. Don't you give up on God. He still answers prayer. But that means we must be a people who pray.
Dr. Tony Evans. with encouragement to approach God with boldness in your prayers as you continue to seek a life that's pleasing to Him. Now, don't forget that special double offer I mentioned earlier. As our way of saying thanks for your contribution to help keep Tony's teaching on this station, we'll send you all 10 lessons in his current series, Bold Belief, along with his hope-filled book, God is Up to Something Great. Together, this package will reveal how to find God's strength, peace, and promise in your life, enabling you to live with confidence, unshakable, even in a culture in decline. Get the details online at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource request line is always open, so there's no need to wait. Again, that's tonyevans.org or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. You know, the Bible tells us one of the attributes of God's Holy Spirit living and operating inside of us is kindness. And that's something our world can never have too much of. Dr. Evans encourages you to share a kind word or gesture with those you meet as you seek to carry God's light to a world in need of His love. You've probably heard it said that Christians are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why that balancing act is often so difficult as he explores ways to keep our feet firmly planted in the kingdom in the midst of a culture in decline. I hope you'll join us for this important message. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Evolution confusion. Evolutionists can't seem to make up their mind on how to classify Homo erectus. Was it a human or not? See why this matters on today's Creation Moment. And now our Creation Moment's host, Paul Taylor.
A debate about the definition of species may remove Homo erectus from the human evolutionary tree. Traditional evolutionists theorize that Homo habilis evolved into Homo erectus, which evolved into Homo sapiens. Some evolutionists now want to reclassify Homo erectus as a primitive form of Homo sapiens. Those who don't want to abolish the Homo erectus classification have been supporting their position by emphasizing the differences between Homo erectus and Homo sapiens. Homo erectus has a considerably smaller brain than Homo sapiens. These creatures also had larger teeth and heavier limb bones. Scientists who want to keep the classification conclude that Homo erectus characteristics are quite distinct from Homo sapiens. Those who want to reclassify Homo erectus as Homo sapiens want to blur the differences that we generally use to discern between humans and apes. We need to ask, if evolutionists cannot define a species, how do they know when a new one evolves? How different is Homo erectus? Dubois, who discovered the first fossils that are today recognized as Homo erectus, finally concluded that the fossils were only the remains of a large gibbon. Dubois had promoted the fossils as those of ape men for decades before reversing his opinion. The Bible leaves no room for so-called